I always felt that someday, somehow, something would happen to change everything for me, and I'd daydream about how it would be.
If today was not endless highway, if tonight was not an endless trail, if tomorrow wasn't such a long time, then lonesome would mean nothing to me at all. Yes, and only if my own true love was waiting, if I could hear her heart softly pounding, only she was lying by me, then I'd lie in my bed once again.
I was 6 years old when I first heard him. I was six, and I was in love.
Reflection in the water. I can't speak.
The first man I ever loved was Elvis Presley.
I can't hear the echo of my footsteps.
It was 2002, and Elvis had been dead for 25 years. Before him, the only music I'd known was Disney compilation albums and Radiohead. My dad was a huge fan. Apparently, I first met the King through Lilo and Stitch. Lilo loves Elvis, and then suddenly so did I. I'm not sure if I believe that version of the story, though. In my memory, he found me. I didn't ask for him, but I was granted him. And one day he was there, and I couldn't imagine him gone. I was six, and I was hopelessly in love. Around Christmas, in lieu of a tree, we'd erect a life-sized cardboard cutout of him, beaming in his gold suit, and adorn him with beads and a Santa hat. On our last family vacation before my parents divorced, we stayed in a hotel in Niagara Falls that was just windows. At night, I watched the falls melt from green to pink to blue, and I noticed Dad was sleeping on the little pull-out couch. I silently wondered if we really were at the Heartbreak Hotel.
Yes, and only if my own true love was waiting. If I could hear.
Again, I didn't find him, he found me. With his husky Memphis voice and that oil slick hair. In pictures, it often fall in a little reckless piece on his forehead. I didn't know I needed him, and yet all of a sudden there he was. I don't remember exactly how it happened, us, but it was a feeling anyway more than anything else. For much of our time together, he was alive, living and breathing and as real as any spark of the imagination is to a six-year-old. I didn't see him much, though, on TV or hear him on the radio. He wasn't starring in any of my favorite movies aside from, you know, Lilo and Stitch. I guess I must have asked, at some point, where he was. Where's Elvis?
Oh, break it, burn it, drag it all around. Twist it, turn it, you can't tear it down. Cause every minute, every hour, you'll be shaken by the strength and mighty power. My love.
I remember the vulgarness of it, the way it sounded when it came out of my mouth. Of course they told me what happened, how could they not? Elvis is dead.
Every minute, every hour, you'll be shaken by the strength and mighty power of my love.
I wasn't crushed. I suppose I'd had my hunch. He didn't sound like the pop stars of today. But how did he die? I hadn't had much interaction with death at that point. Things in my life were about walking and breathing and learning and growing. Death just wasn't part of the picture. So, when I heard Elvis died on the toilet, I laughed. That's supposed to be funny, right? I never said those words again. There was something forbidden, dangerous maybe, about them. They changed the Elvis I knew, the one with the shiny LeMay suit who smiled at me, boyish charm and cheekiness and swinging hips. That's not the way clean celebrities died. Hands crossed over chest, gray hair and crow's feet. It was vulgar and unfair and too soon, and somehow the pit in my 6-year-old stomach knew it. It wasn't the same after that, and I hated myself for it. I was betraying him in my red-cheeked shame over the state of his corpse, left for hours, crushed on the floor until his body turned blue. I was afraid of that carpeted bathroom, dark and luxurious. I'd heard he'd had a black toilet. I heard he'd been wearing gold pajamas. The gold suit cardboard cutout scared me then, and when Mom folded up for a party one day, I never asked her to take it back out. Coward.
My black star, don't shine on me, black star. Black star, keep behind me, black star. There's a lot of living I gotta do. Give me time to make a few dreams come true. Black star. One fine day, I'll see that black star, over my shoulder. And when I see that old black star, I'll know my time has come. Black star, don't shine on me, black star. Black star, keep behind me, black star. There's a lot of living I gotta do. Give me time to make a few dreams come true. Black star.
I was 21 when Elvis found me again. This time, he went ultra-modern.
Just my baby left me, never said a word.
There he was, resurrected in the form of a Facebook video clip. It was November of 2017, but it was really 1960, and he was duetting with Frank Sinatra. He was tall, impossibly beautiful in his tux, polished and rebellious and basking in his talent. He was a god, and I'm not even religious.
We work in the same way, only in different areas.
Love me tender, love me sweet, never let me go. Have made my life complete, and I love you so.
Those fingers in my hair, fly come hither stare, that strips my conscience bare, it's witchcraft.
Love me tender.
I almost scrolled past, as you do with Facebook videos, but I watched. And then I watched again, and again and again and again and again and again until I was crying. A switch had flipped in me. The floodgates were open. I stayed up way too late that night, typing and retyping Elvis into the YouTube search bar, hungrily consuming every black and white snippet of this celestial being. I, all of a sudden, was in too deep.
I love you.
Man, that's pretty.
And I.
Diving into Elvis's life, this time with the patience and understanding and appetite of a 21-year-old versus a kid of just 6 years, there were things I knew to expect.
I see a change has come into our lives. It's not the same as it used to.
I was still afraid of the ending. I didn't want to think about that dark room of crushed velvet. I was afraid of the near ending, too. The weight gain, the weight loss, the sweat, the pills, the girls, the caricature. I wanted to revel in the 1956 Elvis, dancing on the Ed Sullivan Show, filmed from the waist up, and rocking with abandon. I had a huge crush on the 1960 Sinatra special Elvis, lanky and giggling and youthful. I would abashedly type young Elvis into Google to avoid photos from after 1968. I didn't want to face the beaded jumpsuit, cheating, lying, prescription, drug-addicted Elvis. The dead Elvis. Or, worse, the almost dead Elvis. And yet, there, at the beginning of this unbelievable story, were signs of the ending. They started popping up so early I couldn't not notice them. Death and sorrow were suddenly everywhere I looked in Elvis's life, from his stillborn twin brother, to his mother's death, to his army draft, his string of boring movies, death of career, his divorce, death of love, to his grueling, grueling decline. These were things that crushed him, that changed him forever. Or at least until he maybe couldn't stand it any longer.
Our separate ways, pick up all the pieces left behind us. And maybe someday, somewhere along the way, another love will find us.
Obviously, fame killed Elvis. Obviously, it was his loneliness, despite constant company of his entourage of yes men who never had the courage to really say, "Yes, Elvis, you do have a problem." Obviously, it was the untamable American excess that manifested in the form of senseless giving, Cadillacs, money, diamonds, drugs, planes, horses, and peanut butter and banana sandwiches. Obviously, it was the pills. The slew of amphetamines, sedatives, painkillers, the 14 different types of prescription medications that were in his body when he died. But there's a good chance that none of that could really kill a king. It's not an easy thing to do. He was stubborn, he was hot-headed, he was entitled, and at the same time, he was selfless and sensitive, a mama's boy. Elvis had processed so much loss, so much trouble and hardship, even in his key moments of success. He could never shake the feeling that it would all be lost in a second. He had reoccurring nightmares that he and his family would be poor again. No music, no fans, nothing. The fans loved him, but they didn't love the real Elvis. The image is one thing, the human being is another. Maybe, just maybe, Elvis wasn't the victim we like to make him out to be. By the end, he was just over it. Done with the false pretenses, the unmanageable celebrity, the thankless takers and the absent givers. Obviously, there are undeniable ingredients in this staggering story that contributed to the downfall of one of the most significant cultural icons in the world. But maybe, just maybe, Elvis didn't fear the end.